Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletins in the middle section, you'll have a copy of our sermon notes, which we're going to be using today as we begin looking forward to a brand new year. During the season of Advent, we've been talking about how the people in the course of Advent, in the revelation of Jesus' birth and in that birth narrative, had their lives interrupted. We talked about Mary and Joseph. We talked about the shepherds and we talked about the Magi. Everybody that engaged in the story of Christmas had their lives interrupted. They had an invitation to step out and to do something different. And now here we are, the first Sunday in Christmas. Everything kind of builds to this crescendo of Christmas Eve. Christmas is coming. And we build to this moment of Christmas Eve. And I remember on Christmas Eve, the sanctuary at the 6 o'clock service was packed all the way to the back. Everybody is so ready for Christmas. And it's candlelight. It's dark all outside. Everybody's got a candle. And if you took a moment that Christmas Eve and just kind of took a look around, and we're singing Silent Night as a whole community, and we're lifting up that candle. And we're proclaiming that, as Fred mentioned, the days of darkness have their limit. And things are beginning to grow. The days of light are beginning to grow. But it begins with us. It begins with us. And so, on this first Sunday of Christmas, I've said this last year, and I think it still holds true this year. This is the most important Sunday of the year, at least in my book. This is the most important Sunday. Because so often we can gather in this momentous moment of, we get so ready for the party, right? We're so ready for Christmas Eve and for Christmas, and tomorrow's going to be Christmas, and there's going to be packages and presents, and there's going to be feasting, and there's going to be fellowship. And isn't that wonderful? And it is good. But that interruption in our life was meant to move us somewhere. And so now we come to the first Sunday in Christmas. We've gone through the party. We've seen the angels. The angels said, go see. But the question that this day offers to us is basically, where do we go from here? What does the future hold for us? What is going to happen now? What are you going to do with that information? Now that you know that Jesus has been born, the days of darkness have been limited, we now have to wrestle. What did it really mean to us? Are we just people that turn out for the party? Or are we willing to do some of the work that the party represents? Where do we go from here? What's going to happen now? If you go to the next slide, please. The question that we are going to wrestle with today, and especially now that we look to the new year, is the question of, what did it all mean to you? What did it all mean for all of the spectacle that went on, all of the celebration? What did it mean for you? And how can we make this new year a breakthrough year for people that want to be part of that, that want God to really be speaking to them in a profound way? You see, because most of us, the reality is we live in very busy, very hectic lives. We have schedules, we have work lives, we have things that we have to do, but how does that Christmas spirit really speak in our day-to-day life? How does that Christmas spirit continue throughout the year? Is it something that we just put on a calendar and we say, well, now December 25th is over, let's pack it all away and maybe we'll drag it out? Maybe God wanted something more for us. And so the question that we're going to wrestle with is, where do we go from here? Well, the story of Mary and Joseph is anything but easy after this point. And I want you to think about this. I want you to wrestle with this for a minute. Imagine that the nativity, you know, we can wrestle with historically what the timeline was, but I want you to imagine for a moment that the nativity that you normally see is, let's assume that that's how things happened. That Mary and Joseph are at the manger and the shepherds come down as they're there. The baby has just been born. And the shepherds come down and they're praising God because the angels have proclaimed that this child has been born. And then pretty soon after them comes these three magi, these wealthy kings from the east. And they all have very precious gifts of gold and frankincense of myrrh. And so Mary and Joseph are thinking, you know, this king thing isn't so bad. Look at all of the gifts that we've been given. And so things are looking pretty good, but then they have to live the story of Jesus. And I wonder for all of us, as we look to a new year, are you willing to live the story of Jesus? Let's open up the Word and look at what happens to their life after the Magi leave. Will you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Now, look at what happens with Mary and Joseph, beginning in Matthew chapter 2. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinities who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in a place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, in our time together, speak to us and encourage us, inspire us, and Father, enable us to follow your lead this year and always. In Jesus' name, amen. What would you have been thinking if you had been Mary and Joseph? As soon as this child has been born, not only do they have to deal with the recriminations of Mary's perhaps untimely pregnancy, the Magi have shown up and said, "Here are these wonderful gifts." And immediately, they're under threat of their own death. There's a sense of following God. What does it mean when we start to follow God? Things are always going to be easy for us. Perhaps you're struggling today with, where is my path? Where is God leading me? And I wondered what it meant for Mary and Joseph to say, it is time to get up and flee to Egypt. Now, in that narrative, nowhere in that does God say, and you will stay there for 2 years and then I'm going to call you back. So as far as Joseph knows, Egypt is going to be their home. He's going to have to leave family and friends and the support network that he's so familiar with, flee to a foreign land where he doesn't know anybody. The language is different. The people and their customs are different. But that's what he's being called to do, to flee to a foreign land. not only to flee there, but because there are people that are hunting to kill the child. And I thought, when we followed God, I thought whenever we became Christians, that life was going to be easy. I thought that the money was just going to start pouring in. I thought we were going to live a life of comfort and of ease. Isn't that what we signed up for? But I think that sometimes when we start following God, whenever you are in your path today, whatever Christmas offers to you, it offers you an invitation to a different kind of life, a different reality. Sometimes we realize that when Christmas comes, it presents us with new problems. The birth of the child did not solve everybody's problems right away. It presented us with new challenges. The first thing that I think happened with Mary and Joseph is they had to have been confused. There's a sense of confusion about, did I get this right? This isn't the direction I thought we were supposed to go. When I signed up for this, I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it really is. And I want you to think about your own journey with Christ this past year. Was it challenging? Was it confusing to you? Do you really understand all of the ins and outs? Maybe it was too confusing. And maybe Joseph finally said, that's enough. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't agree to this. I'm going to do what I want. And what God is saying, but Joseph, you don't understand. You're being hunted. You're being hunted. I'm trying to preserve your life. Paul, and later in the New Testament, says the devil is like a roaring lion that prowls, trying to find who he may devour. God is trying to save your life, your future, and your hope. Do you find a sense of confusion about your walk? If you are, then maybe you're right where you need to be. Maybe you're right where you need to be. The second thing that it presents is it presents certainly a sense of challenge. Your Christmas experience should be challenging you in new and demanding ways. It should be moving you out of your comfort zone in some way. Now, this is where most of us fall down, because we have a choice. And most of us don't want to be challenged. We don't want to do the hard work necessary. Why do you think that on Christmas Eve, for our church, on Christmas Eve, and every church around, they will tell you that churches are packed on two Sundays, Christmas Eve and on Easter. On Christmas Eve, we had about 330 people that came through our worship. Why do you think that on the Sunday after, we will have a fraction of that? Because of the challenge, the inconvenience of following Jesus. So the question that I want to ask you is, do you find your faith challenging? Does it elevate? Does it inspire you? And finally, it causes change. Mary and Joseph had to learn new ways in Egypt. They had to adapt to new environments. They had to see their life as not just their own. It was a humbling experience. You're being hunted. There are people that are trying to do you harm. Do what I say. Are you willing to be obedient to what God is asking of you? To do the hard work necessary. And so Mary and Joseph take the child and they flee to Egypt until Herod has passed. And then they come back. And they find new life in Nazareth, and life goes on until Jesus begins his ministry. There are those seasons in our lives where God calls us out of the ordinary into a special ministry, into a special relationship, in order to develop us, because there are things that are happening that we don't fully understand. But I think for many of us, as we look to the new year, we're ready for a breakout. We're ready to get out of that routine, the same old year after year, tired routines and rituals that we go through. Each year looks like the one before, and we're never sure where we're going. I want to kind of give you some ideas to think through as you approach the new year. Maybe you've already begun to think about what New Year's resolutions you might be making. You might make a New Year's resolution in January, and you hope that you'll be able to keep it at least through February. But there are things that we can do about our lives that we can look at and examine and ask, God, how am I going to break through to new understanding of who I am and who I want to be? But the question that you must wrestle with is, am I ready for that? Or am I so comfortable in my routines that there's just no way God's going to call me into a land of Egypt to deliver me from whatever boring routines that I'm going through? So I want to give you a couple of things that helped Mary and Joseph, and I think that they can help you too. The first thing that I realized is that Mary and Joseph had a depth of inspiration. It's what elevates and excites your spirit. What is it about your faith and your future that just lifts you up and says, I'm passionate about that? What gives you energy? Mary and Joseph had a calling. They said, this is no ordinary child. We have something sacred that we have. It's our story, it's our life, it's our family. What is it about your faith journey that inspires you, that you want to get out and you want to tell? What is it in your imagination that God is trying to give birth to? We live out of our imagination, not out of our history. So often people think about what happened in the past and said, I could never do that. If you'd have gone to Mary before the angel and said, how would you like to have God's son? She said, I could never do that. Live out of your imagination. What is it that excites you? What gives you passion? What elevates you above the ordinary day-to-day activities and gives you new insight? What problems would you like to solve? What interests you? Maybe it's children's ministries. Maybe it's missions work. Maybe it's youth ministries. Maybe it's adult ministries. What is it that you would like to help? Maybe it's compassion ministries. What is it that excites you? And the tragedy of our lives is, what happens if you can sit there this morning and say, you know what? There's nothing that excites me. There's nothing that stirs my soul anymore. I've gone through too many years doing the same old thing. That's all I ever want. Then the Spirit of God just passes by and will excite somebody else. I just pray that in your breakout year, if this is truly going to be your breakout year, you will find the support and the help necessary to be inspired by something or someone, and let that someone be Jesus, to excite you about what your life could be. The second thing I want you to think about is, what discipline are you willing to give? What are you willing to commit to? What are you willing to follow through on? Not just say, I'd love to do that. I'd love to play the piano. I just hate to practice it. What are you willing to learn? What are you willing to grow? Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. What is it that you really dream about? What inspires you? But then what are you willing to commit to do? To a Sunday school class? To worship? How many times have people said, I would love to read through the Bible in a year, really know what this book says? Are you willing to establish that habit? Find out what God is calling you to, a deeper relationship with Himself, and say, but am I willing to do the hard work necessary? I love the quote that you'll find in your sermon notes. You will either suffer the pain of discipline or you will suffer the pain of regret. There will come a time in your life where you look back and say, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have been stronger and been able to complete this. Those are my passions. Those are the things that I get excited about. Somebody once said that happiness is not a state, but part of the journey of completing the hard work necessary. When you have accomplished a hard task and you've realized that it's part of your goals, there's a sense of happiness that you have done something worthy of your time and of your life. Isn't it tragic that in our country there are so few people with high ideals, high dreams, high aspirations that are willing to do the hard work necessary to see them come true? We look for easy answers and convenient solutions when God is calling us to greater challenges. And finally, and this is most critical, you can be inspired and you can be willing to do the work and say, I would be willing to do that, but you just never actually get the gears engaged. Do something. Take at least the first step. Do one little thing. Make a phone call. If you're looking to grow spiritually this year, and I hope that you are, call somebody at your church and say, I just feel I need to break out and break through. Can you help me find a ministry for me? One little phone call. You can at least do that, right? Take one step and see where that leads. What happens to the next thing and the next thing? And pretty soon you begin on a journey of discovery. Be inspired by what God wants for you this year. Do the work necessary. Commit to it. Don't just say it and say, I'd love to be a better person, but I'm not willing to do anything. What are you willing to do? What hard work are you willing to do? And then take one little step, and you will find the ball beginning to roll. There is one key that's going to work against you in all of this, and you already know what most of it is. It's called the principle or the problem of inertia. How many of you know what inertia is? It's a law of physics. And the law of physics says a body at rest tends to stay at rest. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. If you're struggling to break out, you're going to fight against spiritual inertia. Don't do anything. I'm comfortable just being a rock growing moldy right where I'm at. I'm comfortable in my pew. I'm comfortable in my church. I'm comfortable with my life. But people that are moving, that are stepping out, doing something, they continue to grow and they continue to look for new things and they're growing and they're all the time moving. You don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. The key here is to do one little thing and let that one little thing provide the energy for the next little thing. And then the next and the next. There is the fear of inertia of what will people say? What will my family think? What if I don't get it right? Then you'll have learned something in the process. But you will have broken through the barrier of inertia. Mary and Joseph had a challenge. Think about what they went through. They had this child, this perfect child God had promised. There was no room for them at the inn. And so she gave birth in a stable and laid him in a manger. And then as soon as all of the Magi had left, they had to run for their lives. They were on the lam. They're trying to flee from people that are trying to kill them. And you kind of look at this and say, is this really God's story? Is this how it unfolds for all of us? If you're content where you are, then maybe you've lost that vision of who God has for you. Maybe you need God to break you out and to see things and to realize that you too have a great story that is just waiting to be birthed. And this could be your year. I just pray in our time together that you will feel God working in you, moving through you to draw you into that kingdom. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that you continue to move within us and in this community of faith to draw us into your presence. And I pray, oh God, that you use these disciples that have joined us this morning because they want to hear your call on their life. They want to know that their lives mean more than just the sum of their bank account or what they possess. But Father, they want to know that they have power in the Spirit and that you are drawing them to something more wonderful. So bless them, Father. Move in their lives. Speak to them in our time of prayer, that they will know that you're using them and that you have a great story for them. Use our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.